Well, I am so excited to be here, and I have been here, I don't know how many times, but a few times before, and my husband and I have been here, but this has been so exciting because since I've been here last, my son has been doing worship for the youth ministry a lot, and so this is my first time being here where I keep getting asked, are you Jonathan Duff's mom? Are you Jonathan Duff's mom? So it's so nice to be here. My name is Jonathan Duff's mom, and I'm really happy to be here with you guys. And why don't we go ahead and pray? God, we thank you so much for how great you are. God, there is no one like you. And like it was said earlier, sometimes we're in the mountaintops, sometimes we're in the valleys. Sometimes it's a spring, sometimes it's a winter, a summer, a fall. I don't know what's supposed to be bad, what's supposed to be good. But our seasons change constantly. And yet, God, you remain the same. You remain faithful. You remain good. And I pray, God, that you would settle hearts tonight. If there's anyone who is in a difficult season, God, would you speak your word? Would you sing your songs over hearts? And would you have a message for each one of us specifically? And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we lived in Texas for 6 years. My husband had a church out there, and I think when we moved out there, my oldest was 2, and my son was 2 weeks old, and my daughter, my youngest, was not alive yet, obviously. And we lived out there for 6 years, and I couldn't figure out why I was an awful gardener all of a sudden. Everything would bloom and thrive, and I would be so excited, but then all of a sudden, everything would shrivel up and die. I tried to water it extra, and there was nothing but death. I tried to water it less, and it was nothing but death. And I would pull it all up and try it again. And then 1 year, about 3 years in, I had broken my foot trying to save my adorable son, who was, I think, maybe 4 at the time. He had climbed up into a tree, and he was stuck, and he couldn't get out, and wet ants were getting him. Can you come get me, Mommy? And so I climbed up there in my wedge heels, and it had been raining, and my foot slipped, and my heel snapped, and I broke my foot. And then my son climbed out of the tree to see if I was okay. So can give him a hard time for that next time he's here. But for that season of having a broken foot, I couldn't get up and out into my garden. I could barely get off of the couch for that matter. And I was watching outside as everything died in my garden. But then something astounding happened a couple of months later. If you have lived anywhere besides Southern California and maybe Florida, you know that the rest of the world experiences this thing called dormancy, where plants look like they're dead, but then they come back to life. See, I didn't understand that as a Texas gardener fresh from Southern California. My plants were just dying. I had no idea that they were all going to come back as soon as the weather got nicer. I feel so bad for the ones that I ripped out of my ground. They probably came back in a landfill and they're like, where are we? Somewhere in Texas, there is the most gorgeous landfill that you have ever seen from all the plants that I ripped out. And we might not see different seasons like that in Southern California, but we sure feel different seasons in life, don't we? And I absolutely love this theme. And just as I brought it before God, how do you want me to teach on seasons? Because obviously there's so many different directions that you can go in. And yet I kept feeling like God kept bringing me back to the idea that we're all in this room in different seasons right now. Tomorrow, maybe in a different season. Yesterday, probably in a different season. And yet the idea that God is the same God in every single season. Our seasons change, but the God of the seasons never does. And we can plan on having different seasons of life, but we can also plan on God having a plan in each one of those seasons of life. Regardless of the season, we can look at the promises of God that He promises to be faithful, that He lavishes His love. He's the lifter of our head, that He's always at work. He only does good things. He's working everything out together for good, that He always has a purpose and He always has a plan in every season that you and I will ever walk through on this earth. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." And then he goes on to write some of those seasons that we'll experience. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. And you can keep going, but then it ends with, "To every season, turn, turn, turn," right? Like if you know the old song. Or maybe, I think it's a new song now too, I don't know. But all of those descriptions in Ecclesiastes 3 pretty much sum up the roller coaster of life that you and I will experience. It's pretty much guaranteed that all of us will walk through the majority of those seasons listed in Ecclesiastes 3 at one time or another through the duration of our days here on earth. I was thinking recently about so many verses that we love, that God brings beauty from ashes, that He does turn joy into mourning sometimes, but then He brings it back to joy again. He brings praise from heaviness, and He says that the hungry and thirsty will be filled. And I'm most definitely a glass half full type of person, and my attention is immediately drawn to the happy parts of those verses. There's beauty, there's praise, there's amazing times that you and I will go through with God. There's times of filling. And yet we have to remember that the pathways to those glorious seasons are usually seasons of ashes and mourning and heaviness and hunger and thirst. I love the New Living Translation in Luke chapter 6. He says, "Weep now, and in due time you will laugh." I love that. In the same way that no rain makes a desert, seasons of all glorious, happy sunshine all the time don't produce the beauty and the depth and the character that you and I so often hunger for within our lives. And so our God graciously walks us through seasons of tears to water the words and the seeds that He plants within us. And in each season, we have those knee-jerk reactions, right? As soon as we enter into a new season, sometimes we just want to know why. How can I get out of this? And I just want to encourage us tonight to instead ask God, "What do you want me to get out of this season?" Not how can I get out of this season, but God, what do you want me to get out of this season? Because in every season, God has a purpose. God has a plan. And I'll be honest, we've been in the middle of a rough season right now. I know some of you know my story. My husband's been a senior pastor of a church out in Palm Springs area for 10 years this summer. And about 2 years ago, I developed three autoimmune diseases that led to me having an anaphylactic reaction to the desert. So as soon as I'm there, my tongue swells up, my throat closes, my eyes swell shut, I get hives all over, and I can't breathe, and I can't think, and I can't function. And we thought that that was just my new normal life. And then one day my husband was speaking at a church in Vista, and we were staying with friends. And within 2 days, all of a sudden, I could breathe again. I could see again. My rashes were gone. And so I thought, praise God, we're healed. And then we got back to the desert and instantly it happened again within 10 minutes. And so we began a journey where for the last 2 years, we've been renting a place in Carlsbad and my husband is driving to church, the church that I love, the church that I want to be at, where my women's ministry is. And he's serving God there and I'm staying home. I'm involved in another church, but I can't go to church with him. And we've been waiting for 2 years, and about a month ago, God just confirmed it through circumstances and timing, and my husband resigned, and his last day at the garden is tomorrow night and Sunday morning. And we have no idea what we're doing. For 2 years, it's been wild. Upheaval. We're like Abraham and Sarah now. We're in a season of leaving all we know and all we love and all that's familiar and having no idea what we're headed into. And having days where we're filled with trust and hope and joy of the Lord, and then other days where you're feeling desperate and sad and sorrowful and heartbroken. And doesn't that pretty much sum up every season that we go through? When we're in difficult seasons and trying times, we feel that hope. We know God is good, and yet some days you just feel the sorrow. And I think so often about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it says there in Daniel chapter 3 that when they came out of the fire, I hope you know their story. I know you're a well-taught church, and I'm sure you do, but maybe go home and read it as a little refresher. But they came out of the fire, and it said that they did not smell like smoke. And sometimes I think about that when I'm in the middle of a season of fiery trials. I think, I'm going to come out of this not smelling like smoke. And I don't know about you, but I tend to instead tumble out of most trials, singed to death and smelling very much of smoke. Like my hair is all over the place and I'm like, I'm here. I think I made it out. And I don't know, maybe that's what I'll be like on Monday. Maybe God has a church for us. I don't know. But I feel like we are limping to the end of this thing. I'm like, I smell smoke. And they may not have smelled physically like smoke on their clothes, but I guarantee Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were changed from that fiery furnace. And if you and I will let God reign over our hearts, reign over our minds, and keep our eyes fixed on him, we will be changed for the better and changed for the deeper and changed for the closer and changed for the depth and the character and the knowledge of God at the end of our seasons of difficulty as well. I love Romans chapter 5 in the Amplified Version. He says, with joy, let us exult in our sufferings and rejoice in our hardships, knowing that hardships, distresses, pressure, trouble produces patient endurance, and endurance proven character, spiritual maturity, and proven character hope, and confident assurance of eternal salvation. Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, God promises that in every season, he has a plan. He has a purpose. He is working things into us that can be worked there in no other way, in the difficult seasons and in the good seasons. He always has a plan. He always has a purpose. And the goal of every season that we walk through, regardless of what it is, should be a greater detached view from this world and a greater desire for the heavenlies. The fragrance of Christ flooding through our lives, his attributes and his glory surging through our hearts, changed from glory to greater glory, regardless of what season we're walking through. And you know, it's interesting, right? Because we tend to look at seasons like spring and as the favor and the love poured out from God, and winter is a cold, dark, lonely time where we hide alone like a bulb in the dirt. And yet we have no idea what God is doing. But God is working. Maybe you've heard that old ancient proverb where there was a man who had a son, and the son was working in the field and got hurt, and the neighbors all came and said, "Oh, this is just awful." And the man said, "How do you know?" And the next day, a troop of the enemy came riding into the village and rounded up all of the healthy young men and didn't take his son. And the story, the proverb, it's a long one, but it goes on and on like that, reminding us that we tend to look at seasons, at circumstances, at life as good and bad. And yet I think that God looks at things so differently. I think that we would say in a certain season, "Oh, this is hard. Oh, this is bad." And I think that God would just say to us, "Well, how do you know?" And then maybe we have a season that we're like, "This is great, this is wonderful." And maybe he would say, "How do you know?" See, in every season, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what we have labeled it in our supreme knowledge, God is working his great purpose and plan for good. See, we think sometimes that the summers, that the spring, it's the favor of God lavished upon us. And then there's the other, the difficult, the fall, which is my favorite season, where everything's dying and everything's changing. And then the winter where it's cold, and that's not the love of God. Friends, I think that the love of God is manifest to us in every single season. It's just in different ways. I had the privilege of finally getting to the East Coast during the fall, like 5 or 6 years ago. It has been like the excitement of my life. Actually, it was right before COVID. Praise God, it wasn't COVID year. And I just remember going through, and we rented a car and we were driving through Boston, and the leaves were just bright red and bright orange and bright yellow. And I'm taking pictures and videos, and it was just the most gorgeous thing I ever saw. And all of a sudden I started laughing because I tend to look at life really weird. And I just started laughing, thinking, if these leaves could talk, I feel like maybe they would say, "I cannot believe that people are coming to take a picture of our death." Like, it's just the wildest thought that the most gorgeous thing that we see on our planet is actually the death and destruction of all of that beauty. And I know, like, it's to make way for more. Don't step into my story. Like, I get that. And I just so wondered in that moment, when you and I are in a season that's difficult, are in a season where we're feeling shriveled and leaving and dying, does it look beautiful from heaven? Is that the moment that God, like, gathers all the heavenly hosts around and is just like, "Look how beautiful she looks right now"? She's surrendering. Her character is growing. See, we have to remember that we don't look at seasons the way that God looks at seasons. And we have to remember that no matter how difficult a season might be, friend, you are never forgotten. You're never unseen. Even if you feel like you're a little bulb hiding in the dirt, wondering how cold and how dark it can possibly get, God's with you. He says in Psalm 139, he's with you in the highs and the lows and the heights and the depths and the dark and the light. God can see it all the same. And he is with us in every moment. And in every season, we have to remind ourselves of this truth. I'm reading in Deuteronomy right now, And I know there's some one-year Bible girls in the room who are also in the book of Deuteronomy. But it says in there, understand therefore that the Lord your God is God indeed. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. See, in every season that you and I walk through, whether we would label it bad or good, or amazing and wonderful and awful and horrible. In every season that we walk through, truth is still truth, and God is still God, and we have to cling to him and his word. We have to. Truths like his love is unfailing. Truths like it's impossible for God not to be faithful. That his ways are higher and greater and deeper and unsearchable. That we can't understand what he's doing, but that he is always doing something for good. That he will work it together for good. And we could go on and on with the character and the promises and the attributes that God has declared in his word. And, you know, I get it, though, because what I think makes God's seasons a little more difficult than maybe our earthly seasons is that we don't know what's coming next in his season, and we don't know how long it'll last, right? That's the difficult part. You enter into a new season, you don't have an end date. Welcome to the Spring Conference at Calvary Chapel Chino Valley. Spring 2025 started on March 20th. It was an absolute. And it will end on June 20th. It is an absolute. We were so sure of that that Connie could plan the Spring Conference because we know for sure when spring was coming. She could know with confidence that it would not be snowing in Chino today. Although it kind of feels like it is outside a little bit. And I guess it's not a sure bet. Actually, sorry, a couple years ago, I did a Christmas in Montana, and her theme was white as snow, and it was the first year in 20 years that it did not snow. So, you know, maybe we're a little less sure than we thought we were. Actually, okay, right before I started teaching, there was a tiny little dusting outside. So I'm like, there's snow. Praise God. I had like this whole like, see how it's all covered out there. I'm like, imagine that it's all covered with snow. Our earthly seasons are absolutes with the start and the end. We know what they'll look like. We know spring is coming and we know summer will come right after. I like how organized and prompt it is because I'm an organized and prompt person. But that's not how it is with the seasons of God, is it? Wouldn't it be great if we were thrown into a time of, like Ecclesiastes 3, it's a time to be thrown away, it's a time to be torn, but don't worry, 3 more days, and the time to keep and to sow conference will come. You're in the breaking down season, but you know that the breaking down season only lasts for 20 days, and then comes the building up season. The problem sometimes with God's seasons is that you don't know how long they will be or how difficult it will be or what comes next. The difference between the earth seasons and God's seasons is that the earth has an end date, and God's do too. God knows his end date, but we don't always. We don't have an end date acknowledged for the season that we'll walk through. And I think that God is obviously so genius in this. Because I don't know about you, but I think I know you because I know me. And we're pretty strong women. And we can endure something that we know has an end date. We are prone to lean into our own strength, and if we know how long we have to do it, we will get it done because that is how we are. That's why the whole 30 diet works so well. 30 days? Okay, I can do that. I can eat good for 30 days, although I love the meme that said, I am so achieved that I finished Whole 30 in 15 days. Amen. But I think that the desperation of not knowing how long each season will last is what sometimes gets to us, right? When you're just wondering, how long? What's next? What are we, how will you get paid on Monday? Like, we don't know what the season holds or when it will end. And that's when it gets tricky. And I don't know about you, but I've started to feel myself in a panic of what if this is forever? And we say things like, I don't know how much longer I can do this. I can't do this much longer. This is too difficult. I can't go on like this. And maybe this is why Jesus told us not to worry about tomorrow. Because we don't just tend to worry about tomorrow. We worry about tomorrow's tomorrow and far beyond. But again, the beauty of the wisdom of God. Today, I can do today. God's grace is sufficient for me today. I know I have his presence today. See, we're supposed to focus on where we are because God's presence and grace is sufficient for where we are right now. And some things can only be learned and experienced in the longevity of a season. Some of us are just that hard. Some of us, I guess, just take 2 years of being sick to finally get it. Some of us just take a really long time. And some of us, I think that it's our strength that we lean on. And again, if we walk through difficult seasons with mantras rolling through our heads like, how much longer? I don't think I can do this forever, or even for another day, or I just want to be done. I'm done. Do you ever find yourself saying that? I'm done. Like, don't you wish you could just say that and boom, another season appears? How great would that be? I think we would all say that all the time. But if we have things like that rolling through our minds, rolling through our hearts, friends, we will only be the weaker for it. That's not how God intended us to walk through the season. Today, you have all you need right now for today, for the season that you're in, and you will have all you need for the duration of this season, and you will have all you need for the season that God brings you into next. It's essential in every season, regardless of what it is, that we take our thoughts captive and we speak truth to our souls. In Psalm 31:15, David reminds himself and he says, God, my times are in your hands. In every season, the beauty comes from knowing that there is the one who holds our times. Even if we don't know what those times are, our infinitely wise God does. And he's got this. He's got this. Like the old saying, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. We're in the hands of God. Our times are in his hands, and we can trust him. The nice part about our earthly seasons also is that you know what's next. There's an expectancy. Let me tell you, living out in the desert for 10, well, I lived there for 8.5 years, I guess, not 10 years like my husband, but 8.5 years, it was like September and you thought you might die because you think it gets hot out here. It was like 127 in the shade, I think. I don't know. It's much more dramatic now that I'm a little bit removed. And you knew that you just had to make it to October because October was coming and you could do it. Even if you don't know the exact details, you know the approximate of the season that's coming. But the seasons of God sometimes seem out of order, don't they? They don't seem to follow a specific season path. It's like always winter and never Christmas sometimes, if you're a Narnia fan. It's like winter. Oh, I'm in a new season, but it's winter. And now I'm in another season, but it's winter again. How long does winter last? But again, we can know that his hand is on the calendar for our good at all times. Jeremiah 17 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." See, years of droughts take shrubs by surprise, and years of droughts take us by surprise. But years of droughts don't ever surprise God, because they're ordained by his loving hand. Years of drought, seasons of dryness, they don't surprise or scare God. He's got such a plan of vibrant beauty in each one, and he uses every season to draw us closer to him and to bring glory from our lives. The purpose of this season is to get us to lock in with him, to lock in with what he's doing, to lock in with what he's saying. You know, sometimes just like spring outside, we're like skipping through. I mean, the hotel that I'm staying at, it's got pink flower trees all over the place. You know what I'm talking about? I literally backed my car up just so I could take a video of me driving under, like not my face, but just the trees, driving under all these pink snow that is coming from the trees. And sometimes in great seasons, you and I are like that. We're like, it's just beautiful, and we're just kind of everywhere, and back it up and take a picture. And God's like, hey, look at me, lock in. And so sometimes he brings a season that causes us to be more finely in tune with who he is and what he's doing, trusting him and looking to him with all we are. This is what we learn from the way that God led his people through the wilderness, right? Pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, tells us in Deuteronomy that sometimes they were camped for a month, sometimes a day, sometimes a week, sometimes a year. And I don't know about you, but I tend to read that and I'm like, oh, that's so fun. Is it? Like, is that fun? You don't know. You don't know what you're doing today. And so you come out of your tent. Okay, the cloud is right here. I think we're staying. Okay, I'm making breakfast. Mom's making breakfast. And other days, you pop out. The cloud's farther. Everybody start packing. We gotta go. That's a little bit of an upheaval in life. It's a little bit chaotic, where each day and every moment was unknown to them, but known to God. But just like our seasons are now, and always with a purpose, and always directed by the loving hand of God, who is leading us to his perfect plan. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says that God humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, not a phrase I ever want coming out of my mouth about a trial. For all these 40 years, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water. And he goes on to talk about all the beauty of the land that God is bringing them into. And he says, when you've eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. See, he led his people through the desert, through the wilderness, so that they would learn to be a people who look to God alone. Isn't it amazing how we are a people who know that this earth is not our home, who know that we're temporary, and who know that we're headed for heaven? And yet, if you're like me, we kind of do nothing but try desperately to put down roots in this temporary place. You and I are pilgrims, we're sojourners, and it seems wild to me at the end of this chapter that God has to say to them, don't forget to thank me. When you're finally done traveling, when you're finally out of your weary season, when you're finally out of your long trial, he says, don't forget to thank me. It seems wild that God would have to even remind us. And yet we know us, right? And sometimes we're just so excited to be in the next season that we forget to look back at all God did and forget to thank him for where he brought us in this moment. You know, praise God that he is so gracious with us. God walks us through difficult seasons, but never without purpose and never without hope and never without reason. And even always doing things in the midst of our difficult seasons. And in a few minutes, not quite yet, but I want to close with a time of thanksgiving. Because regardless of the season that we're in, God is working. He's faithful. He's good. I was talking to my friend yesterday, and she's the secretary at a church, and she's like telling me this story with tears just streaming down her face. And she said a lady from the church called, and she said, this is so embarrassing, but I go to the church, but we don't have enough money for food right now. And the church that they're at, they have a program where they have a food bank, but you come in, you hear the gospel message, they have showers, they have food, they have pastors. And she said, I just am wondering if there's another way for me to get food so that I don't have to go when the volunteers are my friends and it's just a little bit embarrassing right now. Do you ever have anyone who donates food, or could I just get a food box without coming in and sitting through all of the stuff? And so my friend, the secretary, she says, okay, well, let me just call you back in a little bit and I'll let you know. And she hangs up the phone and she finishes a couple of other things. And all of a sudden the church phone rings and it's a Girl Scout troop from North County, San Diego, and they were teaching their troop how to make a lasagna, and they wanted to donate it, and they just Googled food pantry in Oceanside, and this church popped up, and would you take a lasagna? Do you have anybody that you could give it to? I know it's not canned or shelved, or do you have a lasagna? My friend says, I think I have someone who could take a lasagna. Okay, I'll call you right back. And she calls the other lady, and she says, would you want a lasagna? This lady starts crying. She said that her daughter had just come into the room and said, Mom, I'm really hungry for lasagna. And she had to tell her, baby, we don't have money for lasagna right now. I just was astounded at that, like all of us are, because God knows, and he knows if you need a gluten-free lasagna or whatever it might be. And yet, when that sweet mom entered into that season of not having enough, of having to say no, she now has one of the most beautiful God stories, if not the most beautiful God story, that she will ever have in her life. See, again, it's good, it's bad. We don't know. Some of the most beautiful moments with Jesus can come out of some of the most desperate seasons. And I think I just want to make sure that we understand that we shouldn't be quick to label a season, because God is so far above the labels and the seasons. And you know, he says to his people in this chapter, your clothes didn't wear out. You didn't get blisters. Your feet didn't swell. And that might have been good for them to hear and to realize, because, you know, they had been in a hard season. I mean, again, I don't want these last 40 years to be attached to any trial that I'm going through. The fact that I can say these last 2 years, that's long enough. Like, Monday should be good, I hope. I'll feel better. My husband will get a job. It'll be great. Maybe. Otherwise, I'll be back here next time. I don't know what's going on. It's winter. It's always winter. But see, sometimes in those moments, like the children of Israel, I mean, you think about it, don't forget they were the younger generation. That means that every single one of them had all of their older family die. The oldest person besides Moses, Joshua, and Caleb was 40 years old. Everybody else had been lost to them. How many bodies had they buried in the desert? Eating manna every day. Part of my autoimmune thing is I was allergic to everything except for like 8 things. I loved sweet potatoes. I right now currently loathe sweet potatoes. Like, I'm thinking 40 years of manna, I couldn't do 1 year of sweet potato. These people had gone through a lot. And God comes to them and he says, don't forget, though, that your clothes didn't wear out, that your feet didn't swell, that they didn't get blisters, your shoes didn't wear out. And sometimes, I think for me at least, maybe for you too, I'm so focused on the difficult, on the negative, on the hard, on what I miss. I want the leeks, I want the onions of Egypt, that I don't even notice. I mean, don't you wish you could have seen their faces when Moses is saying that? They're like, my feet never did get swollen. I never realized that. Praise God. And I don't know. I think I would be sad if my clothes didn't wear out. I'm like, I need a new outfit. Let my clothes wear out, Lord. But sometimes we just need a season where God can remind us that there are still miracles that he's doing even amongst the difficult. 2 Corinthians 4 says, therefore, we do not become discouraged or spiritless or disappointed or afraid. Though our outer self is progressively wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day. For our momentary light distress, this passing trouble, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, a fullness beyond all measure, surpassing all comparison, a transcendent splendor and an endless blessedness. I love the Amplified Version. It says, so we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal, just brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. See, God walks us through difficult seasons so that we will remember that there is an endless season that is coming. These seasons, they're temporary, they're passing, they're fleeting, the good ones and the bad. I mean, goodness, can you believe how old your kids are if you have them? This life goes fast. It's a vapor. And yet we're headed to an everlasting, eternal season with the God who has been nothing but good and nothing but faithful. Oh, you're so sweet. I'm just choking. Not joking, choking. But why don't we go ahead and close our eyes? I know in a room this size, that there's some who are walking through season of joy. And to find something to thank God for might be simple and easy. And yet we forget sometimes. Like he says, when you enter into the land, don't forget to praise me. Friends, in the seasons of joy, it's imperative that we remember who the joy giver is. That we remember what we truly deserve with our sin, with our death, with our frailty, with our failings, with our fallings. And yet this God would choose to lavish his love and joy upon us. And maybe you're in this room and you're in a difficult season. And maybe when I say to you that I want you to think of something to thank God for, it's a little bit more scarce in your mind, a little bit more difficult to find something. And yet again, what I love about Deuteronomy 8 so much is that our God, even in the difficult, can open our eyes to the good and the faithful and the miraculous. And so I just want you to take a second to just thank God in your hearts for this season that you're in, for what he's doing, for specific details, for ways that he's been faithful, for ways that he's provided, and for ways that you know he's going to continue to lead you and guide you. God, you are the faithful God of every season. Like you so beautifully wrote for us in Jeremiah 29, you know the thoughts that you think toward us, the plans that you have for us, that they're good and not for evil. God, show us the goodness. Open our eyes to see this life the way that you see life. Open our eyes to see our circumstances. Help us not to be quick to label things good, bad, ugly, awesome. But God, help us to remember that in every season, however long, however, like being camped, the Israelites, whether it's a day, a week, a year, a month, God, open our eyes to the everlasting season that's coming with your beautiful, faithful presence. Like it tells us in Revelation, there's not even a need for sun because your glory just lights the place up. You wipe every tear. God, I pray we would constantly take heart, take courage, and remind ourselves that your goodness will be seen in the land of the living and for eternity forevermore. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And I have a few books that I've written that I can talk to you about out in the gazebo if you want to come and say hi. And thanks for having me. Love you guys.